morning and welcome. Thank you for joining us on the new year of the church, the first Sunday of Advent. We're very happy to have you here this morning with us audioly. My name is Hannah Scorer. I am the assistant curate here at St. James Westminster, and I will be leading the service of the word. We have Paul Grambo, Katie Clark, Jack Seislin, and Victoria Piovesen doing music this morning, led as ever by Stephen Holowitz. And we have here this morning John Gardy, our sound engineer. If you are interested, please check out our Sunday school videos. They will be uploaded as well this week. And I would now invite you to take a moment to prepare yourselves for worship.
Holy One, wrapped around in darkness, listening for your voice, listening for your voice. Be born among us, be born among us, we wait in hope. Holy One, wrapped around in darkness, listening for your voice, listening for your voice. Be born among us, be born among us, we wait in hope.
Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the book of 1 Corinthians. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Countenance, and we shall be saved. Hear, O Shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock. Shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim, in the presence of Ephraim, Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your strength and come to help us. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angered despite the prayers of your people, who have fed them with the bread of tears, who have given them bowls of tears to drink? O have made us the derision of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn. Restore us, O God of hosts. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "In those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or at cockcrow or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. I don't know about you, but the lectionary readings for Advent always give me a little bit of a pause. And maybe it's because we have this image of Advent as the time leading up to Christmas. And it's time when we're all eating chocolates or getting whatever treat out of our Advent calendars and buying presents and putting up decorations and making plans. And I think Advent, or at least the time where Advent falls, gets really buried in the holiday preparations. I know this is no great revelation, because this is something priests and good, devout church people bemoan every year. Why the rush towards Christmas? Why do people forget what Advent is really about? And trust me, I get the frustration as I sit on my peppermint hot chocolate and listen to Christmas music on Spotify. I get the frustration. But I think this year can really tell us something interesting about Advent if we're willing to let it. We all know that this year that we've been through has been rough. Rougher than rough. It's been terrible, really. It's been miserable and lonely and full of unexpected change and uncharted territory. And it's been long, like way longer than a normal year, it seems. And as we move towards Christmas, with cities going back into lockdown and our neighbor in the south with their raging pandemic, it may feel like a giant letdown of a holiday, and that waiting this year is just a painful idea. Better to have whatever Christmas joy you can, because we've had enough waiting. I understand that. For those who have read my reflections or listened to my sermons this pandemic, you will have witnessed my descent into COVID misery. So I feel the weight of this desire for normalcy, this need to have something uplifting, this want to stop having to put life on hold. If this year taught us anything, it's that waiting can really suck. And so, as we gather on the first Sunday of Advent, it seems almost cruel for me to stand here and talk about waiting, to tell you that waiting is going to be joyful and hopeful and fun, that we should bring back the spirit of Advent and remind everyone that Christmas is not until December 25th. Waiting is hard, and it doesn't get easier with someone saying, "Keep awake. This thing you've been waiting for could come at any minute." Tell me that you don't feel that command to the disciples in your very bones, because that is what we have been doing all year. Keep awake. The end might be coming soon. Things might drastically change. 2 weeks more and 2 weeks more and 2 weeks more. This waiting, it's not what we think it is. And that's important. It's important that it's a little risky, a little scary. It's important that it's a little desperate. And it's important that it's connected to something we do not at all associate with Christmas time. Apocalypse. Now, just saying apocalypse and Christmas in the same sentence kind of sounds absurd. And even more so when you think about what Christmas culturally means for us. But as I said in the beginning, this year is the opportunity for looking at this completely differently. I'm not suggesting we take on a Mad Max vibe to our Christmas celebrations, but I want us to unpack this a little. We use apocalyptic passages in our Advent readings, and we talk about waiting, but we don't always do a great job of connecting the two. And I don't think we traditionally really get at the heart of the context for the early Christians, the heart of the intent of these passages. Here's what's going on. Jesus is pictured here talking to his disciples. He's giving them this cryptic and slightly ominous warning, and because of the time when this gospel is getting written down, this apocalyptic text in Mark is associated with the destruction of the temple. And you might say to yourselves, okay, I think I can connect those dots. Jesus came to fulfill the law, he foretells the fall of the temple, and he brings Christianity into the world, and yes, that's one way of going about this. But I think what's more important here, what can help us understand our own situation so far removed from this, is that firstly, these early Christians aren't yet completely separate from their Jewish roots. So the fall of the temple isn't as clean cut as we would like to think. Secondly, the temple isn't just a center of worship. It has socio-political importance. And this is not just the destruction of a spiritual center or way of practicing, but it's the decimation of a societal structure. And finally, this event doesn't erase Judaism, but it irreparably changes it, creating the rabbinic Judaism we know today. This text is apocalyptic, but it's not in the way that we understand it, because this apocalypse isn't about the end of the world per se, or at least that's not the part to focus on. What this apocalypse is about is what apocalypse really means. It literally means revealing, uncovering. It is God moving in the world in a huge way, change coming on God's people in a way that can't be ignored. And yes, there is destruction in that. There is death to old ways and old paths. But this is the radical interjection of God into the world that we are waiting for. This is what we are preparing for all season. And this is what Christmas is. And what better year to really understand this? Because if God hasn't been stirring us up this year, then I don't know what's been happening. This is a time for waiting, yes. Risky waiting, scary, uncertain waiting, waiting with a desperate hope for God to be revealed. For change, hard change, real change, to take down the destructive structures we've built up and the monuments to ourselves and our power. For the end of what these structures do to the marginalized and the vulnerable. For the end to the ways that we've strayed from our mission. For the light of the world to be born into darkness, reborn in our darkness, and for the world to be made new. Amen.
and sins release us. Let us find our rest in strength and consolation.
Above all the earth thou art.
Dear desire of every nation. Joy of every longing heart. By thine own eternal Spirit,
rule in all our hearts and love.
By thine all sufficient merit,
and I would invite you to join me in an affirmation of faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now I will invite you into a position of prayer. As we begin a new year in the life of the church, let us pray together to the God of our making. Holy God, just as we are, we come to you. We ask for your kingdom to come in us and in this place. Increase our faith and our love for you so that we may become the lights in darkness that we are called to be. O God, keep us awake to you and alive to your call. Holy God, the signs in our world of hate, distrust, and greed are shown to us clearly every day. May we see with your eyes the signs of hope and victory, the long opportunities for loving service, for encouragement, reassurance, and thanksgiving. O God, keep us awake to you and alive to your call. Holy God, bless the parenting and befriending in all our relationships and increase our love for one another. Give us the humility to accept guidance and warnings lovingly given, and the courage to uphold one another in the faith. O God, keep us awake to you and alive to your call. Holy God, we bring to you in love those who are weary with ongoing pain and weakness. those who are frail with age, and all who are vulnerable. Pour your living strength into their lives and protect them from all that is harmful. O God, keep us awake to you and alive to your call. Holy God, we pray for all who have come to the end of their earthly life and for those whose lives feel empty without them. Give comfort to the bereaved and everlasting peace to all who rest in your love. O God, keep us awake to you and alive to your call. Holy God, your faithful care has brought us safely to this moment. We thank you for your constant love, forgiveness, strength, and protection. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, gathering our prayers and praises into one, let us pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.